Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayoub, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And as is our wont, each week we try to bring you interesting guests from across the community talking about subject matters that we think are important for you to know about and perhaps is information that you have not yet learned about in our community. Today is no exception to that. I have two very, very special guests with me. And so the first person I'd like to introduce is Carla Miller. Carla is officially, her title is Corporate Fellowship Manager for the United States Chamber of Commerce, working in a program known as Hiring Our Heroes at Fort Bliss. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you. Thank you.
And our other guest, who is somewhat related to this process in several different ways, one, because she happens to also work at the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce and was instrumental in partnership with the U.S. Chamber for the recent Hiring Our Heroes event that we did at Fort Bliss, which they will both talk about, and that is Allison Armendariz. Allison is also, by way of full disclosure, a director of policy and programs at the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce, working in our business development division. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So I think we decided before we started recording that, Allison, you go first.
Why don't you tell
us a little bit about the Hiring Our Heroes program?
Well, something interesting about this program is that not only was this the first event that they ever hosted in El Paso in 2014, but we were the first local chamber to host an event with them, and it was highly successful. So since the first event, it's continued to grow, and this year's event actually set a brand new record.
Elaborate on what you mean by brand new record.
Well, to begin, the two-day event hosted a combined total of 3,248 service members as well as their spouses. We have some stats that I'd like to share. There were 2,222 interviews, 362 resumes accepted, and 256 firm job offers at the event itself. So those job offers, I'm sure, have grown since then.
That's wonderful. So by record, this is so everyone knows of our listening audience, this is every military installation in the nation where the U.S. Chamber has hosted or co-hosted a Hiring Our Heroes event. The previous record holder was in Seattle, Tacoma at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. So this is really pretty impressive for El Paso, whose population demographic is fairly small in comparison to the MSA of Seattle-Tacoma area. So congratulations to both of you on that. Carla, would you care to elaborate a little bit about your role with the U.S. Chamber and how you came to do this?
So yes, so I do work for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and 2 years ago in 2015 at JBLM, this is where the first program started. They realized that there was a need, so there was resumes and people were getting out at high numbers and nobody really knew like what to do next. And so after they had the first expo here, they started at JBLM and said, hey, let's do a corporate fellowship program. What is that? So, and that's what many people say. A corporate fellowship program is taking transitioning servicemen and women who are getting out within 30 days of the, not 30 days within the military, but 180 days within the military, and putting them in businesses in El Paso or at any installation that we're at where they do on-the-job training for 12 weeks, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in a classroom with me, and Friday they're back in Big Army and they're finishing their transition and doing all their classes. So as a manager, I'm kind of the liaison between the city, businesses, the military, the fellows, the U.S. Chamber, the local chamber.
The local chamber, who are they?
The local El Paso Chamber.
I'm teasing you. And so for those who missed it earlier, the acronym you keep using is the abbreviation for the name I gave a moment ago, which is Joint Base Lewis-McChord, hence JBLM. So you didn't bother to explain to us. You're at Fort Bliss because why?
So I'm at Fort Bliss because our sponsor, Prudential, thank you, has a small office here, and it is here at a military installation, and they felt really strong about hosting a fellowship, a corporate fellowship program at a military installation where they have an office, where they could give back to their soldiers and try to find them employment either in El Paso or or one of their other local offices they have across the United States.
Yeah. And where I was going with that, though, is you happen to be a dependent.
Oh, I am a dependent. I am a proud military spouse, but I usually don't share that. I don't know why.
Well, I think it's pretty important for people to understand how passionate you are about this and why. So your husband serves. You don't necessarily have to go into elaborate detail of his grade, his title, but he works in which unit?
So he works for the BMC out at Fort Bliss.
And that is?
The Brigade Modernization Command.
Yes. One of our centerpiece units at Fort Bliss.
Right. It is kind of the model of the military when it comes to training and exercises and anything that the military wants to train goes through BMC.
And testing.
And testing.
Testing of defense equipment, right? That goes through all branches. We won't go into that. That's another interview for yet another day. We want to stay on point. But what they do at the BMC is critically important to virtually every hotspot on the planet where we serve. And it's important not just for our servicemen and women, but for our allied forces as well who train with us.
Right.
So moving on then, let's talk a little bit about the program itself. This last event we had, which, Allie, when was that held?
March 23rd and 24th.
Yeah, at Fort Bliss at the Centennial Club. And we're hoping that some of our listeners might be those who are serving today and might say, how did I miss that opportunity? And so then the answer to that question will be, when will that next opportunity be? Next year.
Hopefully, yes. Hopefully next year.
Right. Well, because we've been doing this annually. So I expect with the success we've had, the U.S. Chamber will be very interested in getting back here as early as possible next year to do the same thing. And our partners, you mentioned Prudential, but also Microsoft. In fact, I spent some time with executives who came in from Seattle specifically for this program. First Command, CarMax, who's brand new to El Paso, and ADP, one of our largest private employers in the marketplace, Terry McGreehan. In fact, Terry McGreehan from ADP, and as I remember, Dean Sanders from Prudential, along with other individuals from Microsoft and First Command and CarMax, served on a panel, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the cohorts that you described and what goes on in that training process.
So the 12-week training process is basically on-the-job training. So corporations or businesses, it can be small, it can be medium, large, it doesn't really matter. As long as you are willing and you have space to host a fellow, you're within 75 miles of Fort Bliss, you are willing to train someone in management level, it could be HR, communications, logistics, and you're also willing to possibly give them an interview if there's a job that comes up,
so
it becomes available.
There's a commitment
by
that employer to at least guarantee interviews for some of these participants in the training program.
Correct.
Okay. And I want to help our audience understand this even further. The motivation behind all this, besides the obvious, which is we have separating soldiers. Separating, just for definition, can be someone whose term is up and they decided to get out, or they're retiring and have chosen, in most cases, voluntarily, they want to live in El Paso because they've discovered what a jewel this place is to live, right?
It's Many the secret of the
folks,
Army.
It is the biggest. Unfortunately, it's the best kept secret in the Army. We actually go through this a lot in the community. Other installations are referred to as Fort Bliss haters because I say that somewhat humorously, but only a little bit, because what happens is they get tired of hearing, without naming installations in particular, when a soldier or an officer is transferred from Fort Bliss to those installations, they get tired of hearing what a great community El Paso is, how much the folks love their soldiers, what a great place it is to live, especially if you live off post, and you know what opportunities are available. So that's what I mean when I refer to them as haters, because oftentimes, in fact, more often than not, they're incapable simply because of their restrictions, their limitations of being able to offer a comparable environment in those communities. So we have these soldiers who want to stay here. Their families want to stay here. But inherent in that is I need to work, right? Especially if I'm not retiring. I don't have a pension. Is that correct?
And that also becomes a big problem because those that are getting out of the military, they only speak with military acronyms like you have caught me doing a few times today. So they'll gear their resume and think it's wonderful. And they will have all these military acronyms that they give me and say, I have my resume. Let's look it over. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I tell them, if I don't understand this resume, I don't think someone in corporate America is going to, you know, understand this resume. So the whole process and the program is to help them be able to transition from military to civilian world. And it includes their language and their culture and how they dress and what they say and how they write. It becomes this big, like, bowl of how do we get it together to understand how our new transition is going to be.
Right. And to go along with that, we'd be remiss if we did not mention another organization at Fort Bliss that is critical to these soldiers preparing for separation. And that organization is
Soldier for Life.
Soldier for Life.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Soldier for Life.
Sure, sure. So I actually have everybody that comes through my office has to be going through the Soldier for Life office. And that office does training for resume writing. It gives them benefits when they get out of the military. They have counselors where they can go in and they can work on resume or just benefits questions that they may have when they get out. It's just a plethora of all kinds of information if it's used like it should be.
Exactly. I've been out there long before they were called Soldier for Life. They were also known, speaking of acronyms, as ACAP.
ACAP.
Right, which is the Army. Do you remember what that stands for? I think we've all forgotten.
Civilian Pro...
Well, whatever it stands for, it used to stand for it.
But Army Career Programs.
Army Career Programs.
Alumni Program.
So that's where the ACAP came from. But that's changed to something much easier to remember because it's hard to refer to as an acronym, Soldier for Life. But I've participated in that program from the counselor perspective. I'd gone out there numerous times to sit down with a group of soldiers, answer questions for them about life in El Paso as a civilian and what employers are looking for. Let's go back a little bit to that because you talked about generating a resume. And then how in the world do you translate that resume into what the civilian employer is looking for? And as one example, the big issue becomes, well, I served in a unit where maybe my job was to oversee logistics. So we're moving all of these very large weapon systems and military vehicles. And I've been in charge of that for a long time. Sometimes it falls under the heading of motor pool. And so you're sitting down interviewing for a job with a company like ADP who does financial services. Let's talk a little bit about how you would help that person transform that resume so that it applies to an ADP employer.
So one of the tools that we have with hiring our heroes is we do have a resume engine where you can go in and you can click your branch of service, whether you're Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard, and then you put your MOS in. So say you're infantry and you type in that you're infantry in the MOS part, and then you could, it will help you rewrite your military terms and acronyms to civilian language. So maybe instead of like a platoon leader, you're a manager of a specific field in what you're doing at that time of the military. So it does change these military terms with words that civilians use.
Right.
And would understand.
And MOS stands for Military Occupational Specialty. Right?
Yes.
You're gonna take my word for it.
I'm gonna take your word.
Right. So everyone who serves in the military, in the Army, I should say, has an MOS.
Correct.
From the top-ranking officers to the very junior enlisted private who comes in, they have an MOS.
Yes.
And in the Air Force, they use another acronym for that. And same with the Navy and the same with the Marines. But the point is, that way, those in the military, especially the personnel office, can look at a number that you're assigned as that MOS. Usually there's a letter and a number to go with it and can quickly identify what it is you do. so they don't assign you to the wrong unit doing the wrong job, right? So if you're an administrative specialist, that means you can type. They're not going to assign you to be a high security position in Army intelligence, or God forbid the reverse, right? So that's why they use these things. So talking through the program of the Soldier for Life, just to help our audience understand this better, what transpires, most people do not know this. I did not know this until a year or two ago. But if a soldier separates from the military voluntarily and under, you know, admirable conditions, right, honorable discharge, if they don't have a job, they go on unemployment. That's okay, because we have that in the civilian world, except when that happens as a discharged soldier, the Army pays their unemployment for a period of time, several months.
Right. So in 2014, Army in the D.C. area created career skills programs because they realized that there was a issue in the Army. Actually, I think that career skills programs go back to like 2012, but HOH jumped in 2014.
Who did?
Hiring Our Heroes. Sorry. Hiring Our Heroes started the program in No, I take that back. Career skills program started in 2014. And since then, they've helped probably close to 3,000 soldiers find employment right after they transition. They're at all 19 military installations across the United States. And Hiring Our Heroes came in 2015, where we take 20 to 30 fellows per cohort. And most career skills programs do have small numbers, just because you can manage the small numbers of people that are in these career skills programs. And they do work with them and try to find jobs when they do get out, so they do not have to go on unemployment.
Great. And by the way, this is also, if you haven't already picked up as a listening audience, a collaborative effort. Not any one particular organization could do this seemingly insurmountable work without partnerships. We have the U.S. Chamber and the Greater Chamber. The U.S. Chamber with chambers across the country where there are military installations who are co-located in those communities. We have the Soldier for Life. Go on.
Just going to say, too, it is a team effort, like you said, and it's not only just like the local chambers and the U.S. chambers and the bases. It's also the communities that have businesses and corporations that are helping support their city and giving back. People are staying in the areas that they're getting out at. They're going to work. They're buying homes. Those great things that all cities need in order to survive.
I will tell you that we have a long relationship with Fort Bliss at the chamber. We have close friends who have gone on to 3- and 4-star commands. We have close friends who have retired and come back to El Paso, made El Paso their home. Recently, last year, the former command sergeant major of Fort Bliss in the 1st Armored Division, Sergeant Major Lance Lair, he and his wife chose to make El Paso their home. So they retired. Now he is well employed in El Paso, working for, as a matter of fact, Tigua Inc., and he has become an enormous asset to their leadership seemingly overnight because he has all that command experience. But I think what's really important to note about this and this collaboration is the level of unemployment among veterans has plummeted. That's so essential. By the way, one of the critical partners who didn't used to be was the Department of Labor. We just had a great presentation by Deputy Assistant Secretary Terry Gerton, who came to El Paso and is working with us on veterans employment and training through the Department of Labor. She is in the service as well, and there's a partnership between her office and the Veterans Administration. And now there's actually a website where soldiers, active duty, for that matter now, even once they've separated, but mostly the idea is while they're active duty, right, to get them while they're still contemplating, do I want to get out? And if I do, then what opportunities exist? Or wait a minute, maybe I thought I wanted to get out, but I've changed my mind. I want to continue making this a career. So that partnership, and we have seen on a national level unemployment rates for veterans that used to be north of 17-18%, now in single digits. I think the most recent number I saw was something around 9% nationally. But the great part is locally, that number is way below that. So we're in El Paso, we're around total unemployment about 5%, right? Yeah, so we have several more minutes left, but Allie, you've been very quiet. So why don't you just give us a couple of thoughts on from your perspective at the Chamber and what you do in Business Development Division as it relates to our soldiers and our veterans.
Well, I'd like to elaborate a little bit more on what Carla said about everything that we do with the local chamber and our partners. I think there is a lot to be said about the corporate partners that did participate. We had a lot of job offers by El Paso Community College, First Command, and Mesilla Valley Transportation. So I think that just goes to show that we really are dedicated in El Paso to getting these vets hired and keeping them here in our local community.
That's wonderful. And you're being unduly modest, I think. The work that you all do, by the way, it needs to be noted, just like with Carla, we're featuring the Hiring Our Heroes event, but this is a year long, all year long. It never ends or begins. It's just constant. So there's a constant dialogue with Fort Bliss, constant dialogue with our employers. So I would be remiss again if I did not indicate and underscore what Carla said earlier. While it's easy for us to feature these large employers, national and in some cases Prudential and Microsoft and ADP, international companies, but there are a lot of opportunities for the local employers. I singled out former Command Sergeant Major Lair, Antigua Inc. Antigua, as we all know, is in our lower valley, locally owned company. And there are a number of job opportunities in our marketplace. So I want to encourage our local employers, small and medium, as well, to give serious consideration. And the reasons I point this out so strongly, you alluded to that a moment ago when we were talking about their military occupational specialty, their MOS, how you translate what they do to what it is in civilian life, is these young adults, medium young, to early young, I mean, they're all young to me, bring with them a specialty, a knowledge base, a background in training, an experience level that your average just out of college employee doesn't necessarily bring with them. And that's the experience of living in a very structured environment, having to take orders, in many cases having to give orders, right? Manage, in many cases, a lot of people. If they're running a platoon or a company size, they have to be responsible for these individuals and their safety because so many of these young people have been deployed, in many cases, multiple times. So they come back and they have an experience in dealing with situations. You know, we all talk about living with stress. Do you have stress in your life, Carla?
I think we all have stress.
No, I have none.
Yeah. So we do deal with stress, all of us, and whatever we do in our daily work lives, our home lives, our family lives. But nothing can compare to the stress that they deal with because they also have families. Most of the time when they're deployed, those families are thousands and thousands of miles away. So they don't get to talk to them as often. They have children that they worry about, spouses that they worry about while they're in harm's way, literally in harm's way, having to deal with the possibility of being wounded or worse. So those kinds of environments prepare these soldiers, men and women, for the job and workforce that we have, and the environments that we have, that will really bring a skill set to the employer that they couldn't possibly imagine until they give these individuals an opportunity. So are there some points of contact you'd like to share with us for our listening audience, how to reach you, how to contact you?
Sure, yes. If you're interested in hosting a fellow or being part of it, if you are someone who's transitioning out of the military, I can be reached very easily. My email address is cmiller@uschamber.com.
Okay. And Allison?
I ask that you guys please continue to look at the Chamber website, because not only do we share the Hiring Our Heroes information, but we continue to post events such as this, anything similar that's going on in the community. Or you can also email me at aarmendarez@elpaso.org.
And our website is elpaso.org, right? Great. So any other closing comments that either one of you wish to make? We're down to just a couple of minutes left in the show.
So I have just one thing really quickly to say. We were talking about unemployment, and this may be for another show, but the average spouse is 25% unemployed across the military. And 2016 is the year of the military spouse.
That's a great point. And actually, you triggered a thought. So this happened a couple of years ago when they do these Army Fort Bliss has their leadership retreats. And occasionally they invite civilians in leadership to come in and talk with the spouses in particular. We're talking about Army wives who are spouses of high-ranking officers and high-ranking enlisted. And I want to dispel a belief that seems to be pervasive still, which is, I'm in El Paso, I need a job, but I can't go out and apply for a job because why?
I don't speak Spanish.
I don't speak Spanish, but that's not true.
That's not true.
And we want to get that message across to all the families out there who are listening from the military. Tell them.
Yes. So I've currently worked with three companies, ADP, Prudential, and EPISD, and not one of them has had a requirement of bilingual.
That's correct.
You can get a job. If I can get a job in El Paso, you can as well.
Yeah. And I want to tell you, by the way, for those of you listening who either are a spouse and want a job in El Paso or know someone who is, especially if you're in healthcare, I will tell you that the demand for healthcare professionals in this marketplace is enormous. And I just had lunch with Dr. Lang from Texas Tech. I've spoken with numerous other leaders in the private sector, from Tenet Healthcare, the Hospitals of Providence, HCA, the Las Palmas and Del Sol. And I can promise you, if you're in the healthcare profession, if you don't have a job in El Paso, it's because you've chosen not to have one. So I think we just ran out of time. I got the cue from Dennis. We want to thank both of you as our very special guests today. I want to thank you, our listening audience, for tuning in with us again, and we hope to see you again next week. Thank you.